Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Chris Hutting. Let's get into our first news story of today. And I think we could all see it coming once the announcement that Floyd Shivambu was no longer going to be the Secretary General of MK was announced by Jacob Zuma. Floyd, there were many questions as to what he would do now that he was demoted to being an ordinary MP of MK. And Zuma had been making a lot of noises in the past couple of days about how, MK wasn't obsessed with any one Secretary General and we didn't fall over ourselves and we're a serious party because we get rid of our Secretary Generals when we don't like them. I believe there have been seven different people who have been the Secretary General of MK since its formation in 2023. Anyway, Floyd has announced that he is going to be starting his own new political party. Well, as these things go, he hasn't quite said that. He said that he is beginning the consultation process to explore creating a new political party. He, however, insisted that he has not resigned from Mkhonto uSizwe and that he will never resign from Mkhonto uSizwe, following in the footsteps of his current political leader, Jacob Zuma, who, of course, said the same thing about the ANC. Speaking during a press briefing at a luxury hotel in Midrand, Shivambu said, quote, "Over the next few months, we will be consulting all the traditional and church leaders. We'll be seeking the wisdom of ordinary South Africans, including Michael Nakuna, Ivan Khoza, Patrice Motsepe, on the need to form a new political party. If yes, what should be the values of that party and what should distinguish it from other political parties?" So it seems as if the far left in South Africa is going to have another competitor on the scene. I'm a little bit skeptical, though, that this is going to make a huge splash, but I think this is definitely a setback for MK. My sense, Chris, and tell me if you agree with me, is that MK will, they had an opportunity to expand their reach, I think, beyond KZN. And the appointment of Floyd Shivambu as the Secretary General was perhaps a sign of them trying to do that. I wonder whether that's really going to work now. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think not only a setback for MK, but for Mr. Shivambu's political ambitions themselves, where he was second in command to Julius Malema at the EFF, and then perhaps saw an opportunity where MK, after the last year's elections, being the third biggest party with a very old leader, maybe Mr. Shivambu saw a gap there for himself in terms of building the structures, building the sort of organizational difficult work that MK would need as a very new, very young party, and that by doing so, he would secure his own potential leadership of MK in the very in the medium to long term. But all of that now scuppered. It's interesting how his announcement today echoed some announcements by Zuma as well, where Zuma will continue to say he didn't resign from the ANC, so he still sees himself as part of the real ANC, wanting to make the ANC great again, as it were, in the guise of MK. So perhaps Mr. Shivambu, whatever his new political party is, will say the same thing. He wants to make MK what it could have been if it hadn't been for all these unscrupulous people surrounding President Zuma, former President Zuma, who is, of course, without flaws. He is highly respected. It's only the people around him who are now looking to get rid of Shivambu. I think the fact that Shivambu mentioned he hasn't resigned, I think as we record today, Duduzile Zuma is furiously typing that expulsion letter to send to the leadership of MK to have it signed off for his membership to be rescinded, because he would in effect be starting an opposition party to MK. I don't think someone like Zuma would allow for that kind of thing while he's still running MK. Maybe just a last note. It's one thing to start a political party and to give credit to MK for seeing the moment, to Zuma, who I think continues to be one of the country's shrewdest political operators, seeing the moment of ANC decline and how they could have taken advantage of that in the end of 2023, heading into the elections in 2024. It's one thing to start the party and become the third biggest in the country, but it's another thing then to maintain the kind of work just from managing finances and managing competing interests in your leadership and in your party. That sort of thing requires a lot of day-to-day difficult work. And the more you've got the sort of these breakoffs, the more difficult I think it becomes to then to convince any new individuals to come in into the leadership. It might be a different story to convince people to vote for you. You can tell a different story at some of your rallies, however you communicate with your supporters. But it's another thing entirely to get the kind of leadership skills you need as well as the funding. If people as high profile as Shivambu decide within 10 months, this isn't really for me.
So we, it was interesting. He mentioned church leaders and traditional leaders in his quote there, because that I think are the two sort of social groups that MK, particularly in KZN, has really built its strength off of. And Shivambu has this reputation as being this good political operator and organizer. I don't know how true that is. I think he's probably not bad, but also probably not amazing. But I don't know, really. I'd be very open to correction on that one. And I wonder now whether he's going to try and nab some of that MK support outside of Zulu-speaking areas of South Africa. So if you go outside the provinces to places which don't have large Zulu-speaking populations, you see MK still all over the country managed Limpopo, 1% of the vote, Northwest, 2% of the vote, Free State, 2% of the vote, 1.5% in Eastern Cape. You get a sense that I think these are often people voting for MK because they either thought Zuma was good, or because they thought it would be a strong opposition to the ANC, or because they thought, you know, they liked some of its radical policies. Maybe they liked the traditional leader stuff. Maybe they liked the far left economics. And I think Shivambu is probably going to try and occupy that space. And, you know, that's obviously not going to bring him to power in the leadership of the country, but especially if the EFF is struggling at the moment, which I think the latest polling from the Social Research Foundation suggests the EFF is losing votes to MK. It's possible, if Shivambu plays his cards right, that he may be able to cannibalize some of that vote and set himself up, at least in parliament. And then maybe even score himself some positions if he is the swing vote in some sort of coalition somewhere. But this is a continuing fragmentation of our politics. While I don't expect him to do well, he might well manage to get himself a seat somewhere, or at least get some councillors elected. We shall see. Okay, let's move on to our next story. Municipalities across the country, many of them receive very bad marks from the Auditor General, who says that they are not very good at tracking their finances, doing the paperwork, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and making sure that all the money is accounted for. Huge percentages of our municipalities receive these qualified audits, saying that basically the standards of what the money tracking are not being adhered to. There's lots of wasteful and fruitless expenditure. Well, it's not just that they're spending the people's money badly in government. Many municipalities are not even paying the Auditor General, who are they supposed to? They are supposed to pay in order for this auditing to take place. According to the Freedom Front Plus's Voter Vessels, who is the chair of Parliament's Standing Committee on the Auditor General, municipalities across the country owe a cumulative around 1 billion rand to the office of the Auditor General, most of the biggest culprits being in the Free State, Northwest, and Northern Cape provinces that often have badly run municipalities. Chris, on one hand, this is sort of no surprise, right? Like, obviously, if a municipality is completely dysfunctional, it's not going to pay something like the Auditor General's fees, especially when that, you know, those reports are just going to make them look bad. But this really, I think, does speak to kind of the breakdown of just the basics of many of these municipalities. What's your take on this?
So earlier this year, I think not that much earlier than what we're talking now, but in May of this year, we at the CRA published one of our macro review reports. And in that report, we looked at the state of municipalities and local government in South Africa. And one of the phrases we figured out to talk about the effect of non-efficient, or at least in many cases, even on a basic level, non-functional municipalities, is you have national government talking about 3% growth and you want to connect everyone to each other. You want small and medium businesses to flourish across the country. But if your municipalities don't function at a very basic level, including paying what they should pay to an auditor general and to ESCOM, we refer to them as sand in the gears of the economy. So the impact on citizens, on businesses in those municipalities. It's a little surprise then that we have such low economic growth across the board, as well as high unemployment. When you've got ratepayers under more and more pressure because of higher rates that are implemented by under pressure municipalities, but then those same ratepayers and businesses don't get the services for which they pay, it just becomes a real vicious cycle. I know in the city of Joburg alone, according to the latest estimate from the mayor himself, the latest mayor, Mr. Morero, the city of Joburg needs over 200 billion rand to deal with its infrastructure backlogs. That's not building new infrastructure, that's maintaining current infrastructure and making sure it's fit for purpose. So if your spending of those rates that you do collect doesn't go towards things like basics in terms of governance, in terms of infrastructure, then I think it's a little surprise that this kind of thing happens. We know, of course, many municipalities owe a lot to ESCOM. That in turn impacts ESCOM's fiscal position, not to give them a get-out-of-jail-free card, but when they are owed, for example, over 100 billion rand by municipalities, that impacts their balance sheet and their ability to provide electricity to South Africans. So, yeah, when municipalities don't function, it really has a very long-term, deep negative effect on economic activity and quality of life in the country.
All right, let's move on to our next story, and this is about Nahawu, a group of former members of the National Education, Health and Allied Workers Union, which is one of the COSATU unions. Nahawu said that they are going to form a breakaway union. The media reporting suggests that there are at least 100 former members of this union. They say that they have already signed up 1,000 people and that this was because Nahawu, quote, is no longer controlled by its members. There is a top-down approach. It has become painfully clear that Nahawu no longer represents the needs, priorities, aspirations of a significant proportion of its membership, one of the founding members of this breakaway union said. They cite problems with leadership, financial mismanagement, what they describe as ineffective representation, neglect of sector-specific issues, and a failure to support members. Now, I don't know if this union is really going to take off or be a serious competitor to Nahawu, but I think this is part of the broader trend that we've seen in South African politics, just as we're actually seeing in our politics now. In that first story, you see political parties splintering. Well, we're seeing that in our unions too. There was a time in the 90s when COSATU was not the only the federation or the only group of unions in the country, but it was overwhelmingly dominant. It had lots of political power. It had very large membership. It had this close relationship with the ANC government. It was just a real force in society. And that has diminished over the years. It's faced lots more competition. Groups like AMCU, the Construction and Metal Workers Union, I think is the full name, in Northwest, who were involved in the Marikana strikes, the infamous Marikana strikes. There have been a number of other breakaway unions, of course. NUMSA, once the biggest union in COSATU, has broken away to sort of do its own thing. So this really seems to be the continuation of a trend that the union space is breaking up into much smaller pieces, which is probably a good thing, in my opinion. Unions being these major political forces that sort of, you know, shift government and decide policy by themselves and help write legislation, as the unions had a very big impact on our very negative labor legislation laws, has not been good for the country. And now we perhaps are going to see unions return to being more focused on what they're actually supposed to do, which is representing the interests of their workers in specific sectors and specific businesses. What do you make of this, Chris?
Yeah, I think that the long-term decline, both of the impact of unions as well as the membership numbers, should tell the management and leadership structures of those unions something. As is often the case with big labor and big government, they don't take the lessons that they should do from when their support declines. We see this with the ANC, which has declined from 57% in 2019 to now just above 40%. In 2004, they were almost at 70, they were around 70% on their own. So if you talk about over time how a political party like the ANC has declined, now you talk about unions. If they aren't offering their members the kind of value that they should be doing, and being that kind of productive bulwark to some things, but also productive in terms of just their policy inputs and the interest of their members in other ways, then I think you shouldn't be surprised that you see more and more splintering, because there's just a smaller pie for them to vie over in terms of potential members. Also, as the economy just declines, fewer people are unfortunately employed. One of the unions I think that has done relatively well from a PR, comms, and an impact for its members from those particular points of view or metrics is Solidarity. And there's some lessons there that other unions could take from what Solidarity has done, where, for example, they stridently and regularly argue against the NHI and the impact that it will have on members' healthcare benefits. What about the opportunity for other unions like COSATU, NEHAU, whichever other ones there are, to have a similar kind of impact and to show what kind of productive role they could be doing? So let's see if any other breakaways do have any more longer-term positive impact, because I think the trend line is just less and less of a role for a sort of union movement in the country. That will have its benefits definitely for business and also for government when they try and reform some of the public sector entities like Eskom and Transnet specifically. On the other hand, you then wonder about some other shoring up of civil rights and individual rights that could be lost if you don't have a vibrant union body that is accountable to its members.
All right, that is all the time we have for today. We hope that you found this show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.